Welcome to the CFC Jacks Midweek Podcast, where we discuss topics related to becoming a fully devoted, Spirit-empowered Christ follower. We hope that wherever you are today, you'll be encouraged by the truths discussed in this podcast.
Well, welcome to Q&A. This is your opportunity to text in questions from the sermon this morning. So in just a moment, you'll see there'll be a number across the screen where you can text those in. And as we say oftentimes, if there's something stirring around in your heart and your mind that you were thinking or wondering about, wanting more information about, would you text it in this morning? Because likely someone else is thinking the same thing or something similar. So we do have a few questions that have already come in. We can go ahead and get started. And then if that triggers another thought, send it on in.
Yes, I was walking out of North. I was greeting people in North Auditorium before the service started, and a gentleman named Neil said, "Hey, I got a question for you."
Nice.
After the service, and I said, "Well, we have Q&A.
Text it in.
Yes. I hope Neil saw the number and texted in. We'll see.
Awesome. Yeah, maybe it's one of these questions. First one here is, because Jesus was crucified on Friday and in the grave for 3 days, then isn't the resurrection on Monday? Why do we celebrate on Sunday?
Yeah, good question. Part of that is understanding the way we see a day versus a Jewish understanding of a day. And so Jesus was crucified, yes, on Friday, but they did not want to move him on the Sabbath and or to hang on the Sabbath, on the cross through the Sabbath. So they asked for permission to remove Jesus from the cross while it was still on Friday. And then he was in the tomb on Friday before sunset, which would have been the end of that Jewish day. So he was in the tomb part of Friday, all day Saturday, what they would have understood the Sabbath. And then before sunrise on Sunday, he was still in the tomb. And so that would have been your third day of before sunset Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday had already started because of the sunset of Saturday night. So Sunday had already started. So that's why raised on Sunday and in the tomb for 3 days.
Not necessarily a 24-hour period like we would think with a calendar.
Yes, yes. And we think of a day starting at a different time. Mm-hmm. So in our day, in our thinking, Friday, he would have not been in the tomb on Friday because, he would have been because before midnight.
Right.
So it's when we think of the portion of the day, not a full 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Question here, why is it that despite Jesus died on the cross, people died to sin and continue to sin?
Yeah. All right. So, read the question again. Make sure.
Yeah. So why is it that despite that Jesus died on the cross, people died to sin and continue to sin?
Okay. First of all, let's be clear that not everyone died to sin because Jesus died on the cross. The point of Romans 6 was when you were baptized, when, in other words, when you believed in Jesus, that is when his death became your death and you died to sin. So not everyone died to sin, only those who have believed in Jesus. So if I could reframe the question to say, how is it that people who have believed in Jesus continue and died to sin, therefore, still live in it? A couple of reasons. Number one, though our slavery to sin has been broken, the power of sin no longer has to rule in our life, but the presence of sin still remains. And so that which will be our full and completed salvation is when we are in the presence of the Lord and the presence of sin is completely done away with. So one of the reasons we still sin, even though we've died to the penalty and the power of sin, is because we still have fleshly desires. So Galatians chapter 6 paints this picture. Excuse me, it's Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 paints this picture of this fleshly desires in opposition to the Spirit of God within us. This is Romans, not Romans, maybe I should just read it for you so that instead of quoting it, Galatians chapter 5 speaks about this battle of why those who have died to sin still sin. Verse 16 of Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit. So what you get there is this, as a person who has died to sin, I still have fleshly desires, and I still can say yes, and still do say yes to those fleshly desires, even though the Spirit of God is within me and I don't have to sin, I still do sin. And it's what the Bible says is grieving the Spirit. If I'm led by the Spirit, then I'll walk in the Spirit and I won't grieve the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit will be demonstrated in my life. So that's one of the reasons I still sin, even though I died to sin. This is a simple reflection that even though I'm a child of God, I still make choices. I'm not a robot, and so right. I can still choose to satisfy my fleshly desires. One day, those will be completely eradicated, but until then, I need to learn to submit myself to the Spirit of God in me versus yielding my body to my desires. That's why Romans 6, if you read the next few verses, we stopped at verse 11, verse 12 and 13 says, therefore, don't, because you're dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, therefore, don't continue presenting your body and the members of your body to be instruments of righteousness. Instead, present the members of your body, my eyes, my hands, my mouth, my ears. I present literally the members of my body to be instruments of righteousness. Presence of sin is still there, is why we can be dead to sin, but still live in it. The question, though, that starts the chapter is, but why change if our sin highlights God's grace? Why not just keep sinning? And it's because, like I tried to say, that the grace of God is not that we keep sinning. The grace of God is that we don't have to sin any longer.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the next question here is so similar, but with a slight difference, referring to once we're united with him, doesn't that mean we can live a sinless life?
That we can live.
Yeah. Yes.
This would be
can
great
we
debate.
Live? Yeah.
Yeah. Great debate in can we live a sinless life? We have the Spirit of God within us. So we have 2 Peter chapter 1. We have everything we need for life and for godliness. So is the potential there for me to every single day for the rest of my life say yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh? Yes, the potential is there, but the reality is that we will not pull that off. There was a man one time, and he caught a lot of flack for this. I think it's in my other Bible. I wrote it down because I want to get the right number of days. He said, and he caught a lot of flack for this, he said, I have not consciously sinned in, like, I think he said 3 weeks. Yes, that he was celebrating, he wasn't bragging, he was celebrating the transforming, sanctifying work of God in his life, and his desire to please the Lord. Now, he did not say he did not sin in 2 to 3 weeks. He said he did not consciously choose to sin. So he was not saying that there was never a motive there that was a selfish motive that he was unaware of. But in terms of a clear cut, I'm going to choose to do something I know would be wrong, that it had been a number of weeks since he did that. And of course, a lot of people just couldn't imagine going for that amount of time without consciously sinning. But that is the power of the gospel. And that's a reflection of maturity. Trying to read your face, what do you think?
Well, at first I was like, that's crazy. It just seems, I don't know.
It's
interesting. It's not something that, you're right, potential there, understanding that potential, but certainly not something I've ever experienced in my life. So it just seems very mm-hmm. distant, I suppose, or unlikely.
But what do we believe about 1 Corinthians 10:13? No temptation has overtaken us. Except such is common to man, but God is faithful and will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but will with the temptation give us a way of escape. So he didn't say he hadn't been tempted.
Right.
He said that he did not consciously yield to temptation in a matter of weeks. Hmm. Yeah, which is commendable and yet a little discouraging when I realize, wow, I'm just pretty yielded to my desires,
yeah.
way too yielded to my desires that I wouldn't be able to say the same thing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's very, very interesting.
He caught lots of flack for it.
I can see that. Yeah. A question here said, someone who had asked me for money yesterday and I said no, is that living in a way that is united with Christ? Hmm. What would Christ have had me do?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, and I appreciate the deep desire at the heart of that question. What would Jesus have wanted me to do? And I don't think that there is a one-size answer that fits all occasions when it comes to how do we help or what do we do for people who are asking for money. It may be that you would come to a personal conviction that if someone asks, I will always give them something if I have something to give them. Mm. But I would be slow. I know some people are very committed to that, that even if I'm enabling them, that's their business. They're going to have to give an account to the Lord. I'm going to help them, and then they'll be accountable for whatever they do. I would be careful of making that the rule that everybody who actually loves Jesus and is united with Jesus would have to do, because you have in Acts chapter 4, you have Peter and John walking up to the temple, and the guy's begging, and they don't give him money. They heal him.
Right.
And so there may be an appropriate time where you would say to a person, either I have money, but I'm not going to give you money because of what you'd be concerned what they might do with it. My wife likes to have actual food to give, or a gift card that only translates into food so as not to give mm-hmm. cash. That's the way she seeks to respond to it. But it may be that you'd say, I don't have any money to give to you, but just like the apostles prayed for a person, I'll pray for you and pray for them instead of giving them money. And so there's not an exact answer that fits all. We should mm-hmm. seek to help those who are needy. It's just hard to always know and our present culture, who is genuinely needy? You know, who is the Samaritan along the side of the road that Jesus talks about, and who's the person who is does not have because they're not working? And the Scripture says, if you don't eat, if you don't work, don't eat.
Don't eat, right?
Yeah. So we'll have to sort that one out as you seek to obey the Lord in each unique situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and relying on the Lord to guide you. Right. And those opportunities or yeah. those situations that yeah. come up.
That can be a hard question to do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. Well, anything else that maybe you didn't have time for this morning or something you would want to end with?
Hmm. Where Jesus is present, life is changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've lost a little bit of that. Where Jesus is present, a life is changed.
Yes.
He who began a good work in you will complete it. If any person is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things will, not should, not might. Old things will pass away. New things will come. So where Jesus is present, there will be change. That is the power of the gospel. And so my prayer has been that you would not only be impacted by the death of Christ for you and the freedom from the penalty of sin, but that you would see the impact of the resurrection of Jesus so that you can walk in newness of life. Because I knew Jesus was raised from the dead. I just didn't know that the resurrection was more than a historical event, that it empowered me to live a new life. So a little book, if you want to read more about that, a little book is called The Saving Life of Christ by an author named Major Ian Thomas, The Saving Life of Christ. And in that little book, he articulates what it means to have the living Lord Jesus within us. And then there's another little book called The Indwelling Christ, same author, Ian Thomas, The Indwelling Christ. It's more devotional in nature, but it will emphasize the power to walk in newness of life based on the resurrection of Jesus. So I would encourage, if you find something stirring in you in regarding, I want to live a new life, but I never can seem to, that was the path forward for me.
It's a great recommendation. It's a great recommendation. Well, thank you so much for your questions. We're so glad that you decided to join us on Q&A today. We would love to see you here on campus next week. I almost said next Saturday. Nope. Thursday or Sunday. My days are all mixed up. It would be great to have you here if you're watching online in the Jacksonville area. So open invitation. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Hope you guys have a fantastic Easter afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CFC Jacks podcast. Be sure to watch as we release new teachings weekly, along with additional content during the week. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cfcjacks.com. Thanks for listening.